It's time for Backyard Almanac. Larry Weber is an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac. Wrapping up May, Larry.
Yeah. I was going to say welcome to the end of the month of May, but the end of one thing, of course, is always the beginning of something else. According to the Weather Service, they define summer as being June, July, and August, which means Monday, June 1, will be the first day of summer. Okay. And if we keep going out further into the month, we have 3 weeks away from the summer solstice, which this year is on June 21, which is the date it usually is. I like to give a definition of the end of spring of neither of those. To me, the end of spring is when the wildflowers that I watch very carefully in spring, when the wildflowers out in the open, in the fields and the roadsides, outnumber those that are in the woods. And that usually happens about the middle of the month. Anyway, let's take a look back at this season of spring that went from, according to the Weather Service, March 1 to end of May. And we look at it statistically, weather-wise, the temperature for these 92 days has been just slightly below normal, hardly a difference, just slightly below normal. We did have some hot temperatures getting over 80 degrees one day this week, but overall, it's slightly below normal. Precipitation-wise, however, we were considerably below normal. Usually during these 3 months, we get a lot more than what we had this time. We get about 7.5 inches. Well, we got not even 6.5. So considerably less than normal. The statistic that is probably easier to forget about is that of snow. Yeah, we had snow during this season, and it was more than normal. If we look ahead into June is, I like to call, the growing month, and it has ingredients for growing. Number one, the days are very long. We continue to get longer until we get to the summer solstice. We have now about 15 and a half hours of daylight. The days continue to get longer, and we get to the summer solstice on June 21. That will be the longest amount of daylight of any day of the year, almost 16 hours. Now, you mix that with plenty of rain that we get in June, along with warm temperatures, and you have the ingredients for a lot of growing. And yeah, we see it. We see it tremendously right now. But let's look at a couple of other things. We are also getting into a full moon. This is the second full moon for the month of May. The word month, M-O-N-T-H, comes from the word moon, M-O-O-N, because in a typical month, we have a single full moon. That is the normal rule. However, the cycle of the moon and the cycle of the months are not quite equal, which means 1 month out of every 3 years, we will have a month of two full moons. And this year, it happens to be May. 37 full moons in 3 year period instead of 36. And so we are going to be seeing that. We are also going to be experiencing the first day of summer. Now, looking back at the other things of May, the raptor count has been going on in West Skyline from March 1, and it concludes on May 31. So we will be coming to an end. They're terrific. The counters there are just outstanding. They keep track of all the raptors seen, but they keep track of so many other birds as well. Among the raptors during these 3 months, it was the bald eagle that was most numerous, around 6,000. Next high, and that was from the very beginning. Next highest was the broadwing hawk, which was in the latter half of the spring, and they were about 5,500. Turkey vultures about 5,000. Red-tailed hawk about 4,000. Now all those are good-sized raptors. The smaller raptor, the sharp-shinned, they were about 2,500. But nevertheless, it's just a wonderful place to find out, you know, just what comes over. This has been a magnificent time for migration. There's a large number of different kinds of birds, and there's many people out there watching and recording them. So it's just been terrific. In addition to the raptors, there's the waterfowl that have been of note. The one that really stands out the most for us in the springtime is the pelicans. However, there are many others. There's cormorants, there's mergansers, there's ducks, there's swans. All of these are type of waterfowl that migrate. But it's interesting to note that the migration is not over. Each of the last couple of days, I have been seeing flocks of Canada geese. Yesterday, I estimated 200 in one flock. Today, I estimated 100, and they were going north. Now, what's going on? Well, it's too late for migration to the north. It must be something else. It's been said, and of course, this is not quite known for sure, but it's been said that what's going on here, those are the non-mated, the ones that are not reproducing of the Canada geese, and they fly north and they locate isolated lake somewhere where they'll settle down and they'll spend the summer. But it's interesting to see them, and of course the flocks are very loud. In addition to that, probably the biggest migration going on is the songbirds. Oh wow, they have been just the biggest. There have been vireos and swallows and thrushes, finches, flycatchers, tanagers, waxwing, hummingbirds, and various kinds of woodpeckers. But to me, the one that really stands out as being the greatest migrant in the month of May is the warblers. And as I've mentioned before, we are at a part of the country that is just blessed with a diversity of the warblers. 26 species can be seen here in the springtime. This past week, I have seen 24 of those 26 species. And in a two-day period, without leaving my home, I saw 20 of them one day this week. They're just terrific little birds for the most part. They're in a spring plumage, often colorful. They don't do a lot of loud singing, but they are certainly there. And if you have a pair of binoculars and you have some patience and you happen to be like I was at the right place at the right time, it is just a great way to understand the spring. Other things of note, we've been having in our neighborhood here a bear family, a mama with three cubs that have been wandering around. And I've been seeing the young of rabbits and squirrels, beavers and otters and muskrat all active in the water. I've been seeing bats every evening at dusk. But one of the greatest sights this week as I was biking along our road was to see a tiny fawn out there. That little critter was hardly bigger than a cat, but it was out walking along the side of the road. Also reproducing now is the frogs. Now we have eight kinds of frogs in our area. Of those eight, three are early spring ones. That's wood frog, chorus frog, and spring peeper. A little bit later in the spring is the leopard frog. And then we have the next group, which is calling right now. And that is the gray tree frogs and the American toads. Of all the frogs that we have, those two are probably the ones that are most likely to be seen on land rather than in water. Later in the summer, we have two more. We have the mink frog and the green frog. But right now, I've been hearing gray tree frogs calling every day. They start calling up in the trees, but they eventually go to water to reproduce. And the toads, which usually live on land as well, I've been hearing those calling almost every day lately. If that's not enough, we start seeing soon the turtles coming up on land. They, in June, they usually come up on land to dig a hole to lay their eggs. There is an abundance of insects. Every day there's more. Now, we think in terms of June, we think in terms of probably mosquitoes and black flies, and that's true. But there's a lot more other kinds of insects. And I've been noticing that, yes, the various kinds of dragonflies are starting to show up. I always think of June as the dragonfly month. July is butterfly month. And yes, we've been having some different kinds of dragonflies. And with all these insects, yes, there's also going to be spiders. I've been seeing more spider webs every walk I take. Really interesting. And maybe as we get a little further into June, we will see fireflies. I haven't seen anything yet. There have been years where they have been out by this time, but not this year. The trees really demand attention. They have been opening their leaves throughout the month. They're almost completely foliated right now. As we get to the end of May, there are three large groups of trees. There are the maples, there are the oaks, and there are the basswoods that are all some of the last ones to open their leaves. They will, however, be opening, I would say by a week from now, they'll be totally foliated. There is, however, three other trees that wait until after the big show for them to open their leaves, and that is the little tree called sumac, another one called called black ash, and a third one called big tooth aspen. They are always, for some reason, those three are the latest of all of them, and they won't be completely foliated until we get further along in June. Red maples have really been interesting this spring. You know, they're called red maples mostly because we think of the red leaves they have in the fall. But they also have red flowers that we saw in April. And now the developing from those red flowers are their seeds, which, yes, are also red. They're so much so that sometimes the whole tree will look like it's red along the side of the room. There's also other things from trees going on right now. It's not hard to see some fluffy material blowing around that looks like a warm weather snowstorm. That is the seeds of trees, especially willows and aspen and somewhat the poplar. And then there is the new growth. Take a look at the pine trees that you might have in the yard, and you see a little different color green on the end of the branch. That is the new growth of the tree, and we'll talk more about that as we get further into June. The wildflowers are now in phase two. Phase one is when they bloom out in the woods, taking advantage of the sunlight that penetrates all the way to the forest floor. That's when we see things like bloodroots and hepatica and spring beauty and violets and bellworts and then some trilliums. As we get now further along and the leaves are coming out in the trees and we get shade, we have the what we call the shade-tolerant wildflowers. They're still in the woods and they're still flowering, but it's changed quite a bit. Now we have things like baneberry, sarsaparilla, clintonia, wild lily of the valley, Solomon's seal, rose twisted stalk, and a couple of kinds of orchids. I've been checking yellow lady slipper orchid growth that I know of every day, and they'll soon be in bloom, as will the pink lady slipper orchid, the moccasin flower. They'll soon be in bloom as well. Then that's going to be followed by phase three, where the wildflowers are becoming more abundant out in the open, and we'll see that in June. But don't overlook the wetlands. There's been marsh marigold blooming for quite some time. This week we started having water calla or water arum in bloom, yellow pond lilies in bloom, and soon we're going to be seeing irises along the side of the road. The other thing going on in the woods is hard to not notice now. If you walk in a deciduous woods now, you are maybe struck by the intensity of the ferns. They unroll starting in early May, and by now they're just amazing. I was walking this morning. I walked past some that were up to my hip, and this is something that just started to unroll and grow early in the month. But there's three ones that really grow tall. That's lady fern, interrupted fern, and ostrich fern. And then there is about another half dozen different kinds. And you get out and take a look, and they will last. They'd handle shade really well, and they will last well into the summer. The missing ingredient from the woods right now is mushrooms. And why? Because it's been so dry. This is never a time of year where there's a lot of mushrooms, but there's usually something. So, yeah, we may be ending May, we may be ending spring, but we're also beginning a brand new season. So I'd say get out there and take a walk. It's really terrific. Take care.
Thanks very much, Larry. That is Larry Weber. Larry's an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac.